It's huge. It's enormous. And it's coming next.
Now, come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up, y'all.
N-E-R-D up. N-E-R-D up.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast. And here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson.
Nerd up.
Welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson. This time around, I'm sitting solo. Well, not really solo, because I got a special guest, Jed Bryan. He is an independent filmmaker, and you know how we love the independents. He's got this horror film, which was created in this little tiny county of Lawrence County, Illinois. I mean, well, okay, the county's not tiny, but there's not that many people here. It's not like it's Indianapolis, but it's interesting to see something come out of a little area where I work and play. And Jed created this movie. It's a found footage movie, right?
Yeah, it's a found footage style film. Yeah.
Okay. Should be something interesting. I don't get to see it yet because it's yet to be released. However, pre-order sales are out, you know, just hitting people by storm. So we'll talk about that in a minute. So, Jed, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem. Especially, like I said, we love the independents. We love people getting out there and say, hey, I can do this. One of my mentors, if you will, or one of the guys that got me to go into podcasting is Kevin Smith, who's always telling people, hey, if you think you can do it, try it.
Yep.
And it's one of the, you know, why not? And if you fail, at least you tried.
Yep.
But I don't think you're failing because your pre-sales were, talk about that real quick. What's up with that?
Well, it's been pretty crazy. I found out, I guess it's been about 2 weeks ago on a Thursday, that it was available for pre-order on Amazon, our distributor that we signed with. It's Tomcat Films or Summer Hill Films, are like sister companies out of Phoenix, Arizona. They have told us, hey, it's going up Thursday for pre-order. It's going to be released November 14th. So I started messaging people, emailing people, getting the word out. And then the next day, Friday, my buddy calls me and says, hey, do you realize your film's like number 15 on Amazon's hot new horror releases?
Nice.
And I was like, really? So I went to the list, and there it was. And we actually got all the way up to 9th.
Nice.
And we stayed at 9th for a couple of days, top 10 for a couple of days, and then we've kind of fallen back a little bit. But it seems like it just fluctuates. They update it every hour. I'm not exactly sure how they do the configuration, but, I mean, we've been in the top 50 for over probably 2 or 3 weeks now.
Can't complain there.
No, it's been pretty crazy.
This is Amazon. They're huge. There's millions of people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a great deal. Well, let's talk about the film itself. We mentioned it earlier. It's found footage.
Yeah.
And I knew that. I just wanted to verify because I read your press release, and I wanted to say, why did you decide to go found footage? Everybody's doing that, aren't they?
Well, it's kind of like, well, see, we started on this thing in 2011.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, we've been working on it for quite a while. And, I mean, it really goes to show you, like, you know, I went into this not knowing anything about the film industry. All I knew is that me and my buddies, we've been writing scripts for years, and we just kept talking about, we'd like to make a movie, and, you know, we made a teaser trailer for a script we wrote called Meth House and stuff like that, and we just, you know, we never quite got to the actual making a feature-length film, so I finally decided, you know, hey, I'd like to try to make something, you know, write something that we could actually make and make it affordable, so, and shoot it in this area. So I sat there and thought about it, and I came up with a story and started writing it. And I had a buddy that helped me write a few pages on it too. But we got the thing written, and then we decided, hey, we can actually make this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So found footage style was pretty much the easiest style for us to do.
And
the way I wrote the film around it, I can see it actually happening here. So that's the crazy thing. Like a group of friends, you know, out partying, they hear about a family of five has been murdered in this house about a mile away from their camping at, and they see, like, you know, the police and the ambulance is there, and they're pulling a body out of the house, and then, you know, later on in the night, they decide, hey, let's go check that house out again, and one of the guys who, I'm in the film, so I got a new video camera, so I'm filming all this stuff, and my friends are giving me crap about filming everything, and, you know, then we show up back up at the house, and then somehow we end up inside the house, and I don't want to, you know, give anything
no spoilers,
away. Yeah,
no spoilers,
but yeah, that's pretty much the movie in a nutshell. So
now, how long is the film?
74 minutes.
Okay. So, and they can pre-order it now on Amazon.
Yep.
Let's get you back up there in the top 10 again.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Now, and then you say the release date is November 14th?
November 14th, the way I understand it, is if you order it, if you pre-order it today, it will be on your doorstep at November 14th, the way I understand it. So.
Yeah, too bad it couldn't be a Halloween. I'd love to have that.
Yeah, that was one thing. We were trying to get, we had a whole bunch of deliverables we had to deliver for the distributor.
Right.
And one of them was we had to create an M&E track for the film, and that basically where like us talking and like all the background sounds of like, you know, the machines running, you know, someone opening a door, all that type of stuff has to be separate than our dialogue. So in most found footage films, you know, it just has subtitles at the bottom for a foreign language.
Right.
And this is a worldwide distribution deal that we have. So we basically had to go through and recreate all those sound effects.
Oh, wow.
And it was a long, it took us from about February to July to get them all because, you know, you'd be sitting there trying to record outside sounds and stuff like that, and you bring it back in there, like, oh, man, we got to, you know, there's an air conditioner running we didn't hear, or, oh, there's a dog barking, you know? So it was a very, you know, it was a little bit challenging, but after we got that done, and then the distributor ended up finally getting everything put together, and said, okay, it's going to be out November 14th, so.
Well, that's, I mean, you can't complain there.
Right.
I mean, but, yeah, my son, Isaac, who's also on the podcast, we set up a thing where it's Halloween month and every night we watch a horror film.
Yeah.
I would so much have loved to.
I know.
One that's made here in town. Now let's talk about the location. It's made here in Lawrence County.
Yeah.
In fact, the little town of Sumner, right?
Yeah, Sumner. Yeah, that's where I live. Yep.
Okay, so why did you choose that besides it's where you live?
Well, whenever I wrote the script, we needed a house.
Mm-hmm.
So we, I was sitting there trying to think of different houses in the area that, you know, were vacant that we could possibly use. And actually, Roscoe Cunningham owns a house in Sumner right there on the main drag on Christie Avenue. And that was our first choice. And at the time, there wasn't anybody living in it. And they call it the Heinemann Mansion. I guess this guy, can't think of his first name. His last name was Heinemann. And he owned this house. And it had been sitting there vacant for a good while. And actually, I think they had just remodeled the inside of it and stuff. And they were wanting to try to rent it or sell it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he gave us permission to shoot it there. And then as far as like the camping scenes and stuff, my family owns some farm ground and woods outside of Sumner, so we were able to shoot there. So we were able to have those shooting locations for what we needed. So
nice.
And then for like just driving, you know, I mean, just any road, you know.
Right.
But
well, that makes it interesting because like I said, small town of Sumner, not much there.
No, just Dairy D and that's about it.
Yeah, Dairy D. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So you knew the place already.
Yeah.
That makes it a lot easier. So,
oh, yeah.
Now, did you write the script around the house, or did the house come up as you were writing?
I'd never been in the house before whenever I wrote. Well, I guess I was in it one time when I was a kid, but I never actually, like, extensively, like, explored it.
Okay.
I knew it had a basement, and I knew it had three stories to it.
Okay.
So, I also kind of played with the script a little bit after I was able to look through the house and kind of see the setup and everything, because actually one of the scenes in the movie, and actually the scene I came up with in my head, and I kind of wrote the script around it, has an attic space, you know, like up in the ceiling. Well, this house didn't have an attic space.
Uh-huh.
So we had to build a set.
Oh, wow.
And someone's shed south of Sumner, as Bob Jones's house is who it was, but he let us build a fake room inside his
barn.
So the room matched the real room inside the house. Had the popcorn ceiling and the white walls and everything, and we had a crawl space in it. And I mean, so, you know, stuff like that we had to actually build a set for, which was kind of cool, you know.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
get
the experience of set building. That's always different.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, so the actors, basically, they're all friends of yours?
Yeah, pretty much. Like I said before, I had some friends that we kind of wrote some scripts together and, like, you know, talk about movies and stuff like that and, you know, how we always want to make a movie. So, you know, whenever you're around a group, like your core group of friends, you know kind of like what their mannerisms are,
right,
like sayings they say or how they act or, you know, what, you know, if given a situation, you know, just like what they would say. So it's a lot easier to write a script around actors that you, like, known your, you know, whole life, and you can just, you know, figure out, well, they would say this, and just kind of add a twist to it,
right,
you know? So
that's pretty cool. That's a good way to do it, because that's one of the hardest things about any movie is making the dialogue real, you know? And if you already know how they're going to talk, you've got 90% of your work done right there.
Yeah, and that's another thing, too. Like, whenever, I mean, we did, like, before we started shooting, we did a roundtable read.
Mm-hmm.
We got everybody together, and we sat around, and we read all the whole thing through it. and we go through, and you know, I'd kind of let them say, well, you know, my character, I don't think would say this.
Right.
Okay, well, change it. You know, whatever makes the dialogue more comfortable to
right.
you, as long as it's not changing the core of the story. You know,
yeah,
you just got to be. That's one thing, you know, being a filmmaker, you got to be, especially if you're independent, you got to be a little bit flexible.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you got your cast and your friends, so you can't be, like, super, super, like, overbearing on it. You got to give them a little bit of leeway and bending and stuff, you know, just as long as they're not changing the whole storyline. You know, if they're changing, like, I wouldn't say this word, I'd say something else. Okay, that's fine.
Okay. A little drop a secret here. Were there any divas in the cast?
No, not really. No, actually,
darn.
It's kind of funny. Like, I mean, everyone got together got along great. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we got together and stuff, you know, there was no, like, in-cast fighting or anybody, you know, being, you know, a bully or,
right.
you know, saying, well, I'm not going to do that or anything. I mean, we all joked. I mean, I look back now, I mean, it was, you know, time of our lives, you know, we were just having a blast, having fun doing it and stuff. And sure, sometimes I get a little frustrated. It's like, all right, come on, we got to get this shot. You
right,
know?
Right.
You know, we need to get this going. You know, it's X amount of time, you know, into it, and we need to get some stuff shot. But
Wasting the natural lighting.
Yeah.
Well, so was it easier, do you think, working with friends, or do you think...
Yes and no. Like, I mean, you know, sometimes you get a little frustrated on different things, but, I mean, at the same time, I mean... You know, I have a great group of friends that mm-hmm. helped me with this thing, and I couldn't have done it without them. I mean, Andrea Potts, I mean, she was awesome. She was kind of like our leading lady. And then my buddy Gavin and my friend Tyler, I mean, they were like there from the beginning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we had a strong cast, and everybody, and that's the craziest part, though. I mean, everybody showed up on time.
Nice.
Anytime we were trying to do something, I mean, everybody was there when they needed to be. And they did what they needed to do. So,
sweet. And with a bunch of friends, that's hard to do.
Oh, yeah, for sure, because, I mean...
I have a hard enough time getting the podcasters together,
yeah,
so, you know.
Yeah, but then that's one thing. I mean, with a film, you know, it's not like in a band where it's like, oh, you know, our drummer, you know, hasn't been showing up, you know, well, we got a show coming up, well, we can get a new drummer, even though he's
right.
played X amount of shows with us. In a movie, you can't just say, well, we shot X amount of scenes, you know, he hasn't been showing up, so let's go ahead and find someone else to play the part,
because
right. you're going to have to reshoot.
Yep.
Everything.
Yep.
And it's just that much more challenging.
Worked out a lot better. So, are you planning on continuing this film?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Career?
I mean, I want to so bad. Like, we have so many different scripts and stuff, and I'd like to make a traditionally shot film, but we just need to get a little bit more funding for equipment
yeah.
and stuff like that. And that's where, you know, we've sank a lot into, you know, time and effort into getting this one to where it's at. So. Hopefully, like I said, right now it's been doing great, and hopefully that continues,
mm-hmm.
and we can just be able to make another one. And, I mean, I'd love to shoot here again, you
mm-hmm.
know, right,
right
in this area. I mean, you know, I have access to police, ambulance, and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's great. In a community, like a small community, you know, everybody
right.
wants to pitch in. And
oh,
help,
yeah, yeah.
So.
And that's another thing about having a small town like this. I will tell you, you'll have a hard time getting the sheriff, because when I put a microphone in front of his face for an interview, he gets nervous. So putting him on film will probably be a different story,
yeah.
too. So he's making me even more nervous. But yeah, you know, I think a lot of people, I mean, I'll volunteer. You need a radio guy, or just need somebody in there?
Oh, yeah.
Let me give you my resume. I've got a degree in theater and radio broadcasting. So
There you go.
Yeah, I can see that. The community definitely would pitch in. And being a small town, I mean, first of all, it's like when that – sells so much on Amazon,
yeah.
so that means other people, other communities are getting this.
Right.
They're going to say, Sumner, Illinois, where's that?
Yeah.
You're going to bring interest to the area.
That's what I'm hoping for, you know. I mean, that's the thing about Sumner, you know. I mean, my grandmother's told me stories about, you know, what Sumner was and, like,
mm-hmm.
how, you know, it's kind of fallen from
yeah.
grace in a way. And, you know, and to be able to do something local, because when I first started the project, you know, I told some different people and stuff, and they were like, well, you know, you just need, if you want to try to make it in movies, you know, you need to go to Hollywood or you need to go to L.A. and do that. But to shoot a film in L.A. and out, you know, in these bigger cities, I mean, it's going to cost you so much more money
oh,
than
yeah.
it would be to shoot in your own town.
Right.
I mean, with the way the internet is and stuff like that, I mean, you can get your stuff out there. It's not a problem.
Right.
So.
Well, like, again, back to my creative guru, Kevin Smith, he shot on black and white film in a
yep.
convenience store he worked
yep.
at in New Jersey. So
yep.
he didn't have to go to Hollywood.
No.
So, yeah, it could be done, and you're proving it right here.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you got this film. You got it filmed in a small town. Being here in Crawford, in Lawrence County, Illinois, you're going to distribute a film. It's just not that easy for him. How did you get this thing out there?
Well, whenever I went out to, we tried the film festival route, and it didn't go as good as what we were hoping for, because the competition's so, like, cutthroat.
I can imagine.
So we ended up finding out, when we went out to I went out to Los Angeles with my wife and her mother and her sister, and we were doing the Hollywood, Universal Studios Hollywood Backlot Tour. And I'm a big, horror movie, classic horror.
Oh, yeah.
I got the Creature of the Black Lagoon shirt on right now. But Phantom of the Opera is one of my top. I love...
The original one, right?
Lon Chaney. I love silent films.
Yes.
And I always had heard that they had the original soundstage with the set of the, the catacombs part of the film.
Really?
And I watched, I think I got Frankenstein's special edition, with Boris Karloff, and they were doing a Universal Monsters history thing, and they actually had it, like, the set there, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like soundstage, like, 37 or 39. Well, we were doing the Backlot tour, and I did it three times because I couldn't find the soundstage. I was looking right there, and they had skipped over that number, so the last one we went on, the guy said, well, this is my last, one for the day. If you have any questions, feel free to come up and ask me, so... I went up and asked him, like, hey, we're soundstage, blah, 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 blah. I'm a big horror movie fan and stuff. He said, well, they end up having to take it down to make more space. And I was just so devastated.
Man.
I was like, I know I couldn't actually see it, but I wanted to see the building and say, it's right behind there,
right.
It's right behind there. And I was like, well, I'm a big, huge horror movie fan, and I actually made my own horror film. And he goes, well, have you ever heard of the American Film Market? And I said, never heard of it. And he said, well, you need to check it out. If you have a film that you want to get out there, you need to check this place out.
Oh.
So I did some research, and I found out. And another reason it took so long for this movie to come out is because, we got the thing finished. We did the film festival deal, and, it didn't really go anywhere. And I was trying to figure out what we needed to do with the film and to get it out there. And I found out this, about AFM. So whenever I got home and started researching it, it was going to be the next week. Well, I had no time to prepare or get anything ready for it. So I waited a whole year and prepped for it, got everything ready. We actually had two screenings out there in Los Angeles, which is pretty cool. Because what they do at AFM, they take the Lowe's Hotel right there on Santa Monica Boulevard, right by the pier and stuff. And they take all the beds, everything out of the hotel rooms. They turn them into offices.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I mean, like, Lionsgate's there, Jerry Bruckheimer Films is there, Lakeshore Media is there. I mean, the big dogs are there. And I got a mini booth. So what that is basically you share a hotel room with another company, which I shared it with a guy off of Atlanta, Georgia, Mountain Park Media.
Okay.
His name's Derek, great guy. So me and him had our own little room together, and then we were right next to, like, all these other different companies that had, some of these companies had, like, 50 to 100 films, trying to shop, and I have one.
You're like,
But before you go, they give you a bunch of contact information for different distributors and stuff, and you email and you set up meetings, and me and him would talk about, okay, well, Derek, I'd be like, okay, Derek, do you have a meeting at this time? He would say, yeah. I'd say, okay, well, I'm going to go meet him somewhere else, or if he'd say no, I'd be like, okay, well, they're going to come in here, and be like, all right, well, I'm just going to step out for, like, a half hour or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have these meetings, and then you would just kind of, like, pitch your movie. And you'd have to do, like, a two-minute pitch or 30-second pitch or something.
Pitch.
Yeah,
yep.
of what your film's about. And then they would say, okay, love it, send me a screener, or no, we're not really looking for that type of film.
Mm-hmm.
So after all that's said and done, it was kind of cool because, like, on the same floor as me is, I mean, there's some of these production companies that have films like, well, the movie The Room with Tommy Wiseau.
Right.
The guy who had the rights to that film, actually, I got to meet Tommy Wiseau out there.
Oh,
it was pretty crazy. I got to play catch with a football with him. I was in a suit, too. It was kind of the funny part. But,
As bad as that movie is, I'd still love to meet the guy.
Oh, he was super. He's like, let me be in your next movie. I mean, super cool guy.
You're killing me.
Yeah, but the guy that distributed their film, like, because it's kind of weird. Like, some of these places you sign a deal with, and it's just for the U.S. I mean, they have the rights to your film, but they'll distribute domestically, U.S. and Canada. But then they also take your film, and then they try to get it to foreign markets.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. Okay. So, like, that's what they were kind of doing with some of those other films. I think they also brought Tommy there to kind of promote it. But, I mean, their office was right beside mine. So it was kind of cool, But Nice. But after AFM, after you get, like, you find out who wants screeners and who doesn't, you come back home. They always tell you wait a couple of months because they get bombarded with stuff.
Yeah, I can imagine. So
I waited a couple of months, and then I ended up sending out all my screeners and then waited a few more months and then finally heard back from everybody I sent screeners from, and then I ended up with three that really wanted the film.
Nice.
So got an entertainment lawyer, figured out which one was the best deal of the three, and then signed it. So it was a process. Yeah, it was a process, yeah.
You had to leave Lawrence County.
Yeah, for that, yeah, yeah.
But I can see that.
But other than that, you know, I mean, basically everything else was done here, so.
That's crazy. I mean, well, I noticed that it's Lawford County Productions, Lawford. Lawrence and Crawford.
Yeah, it's kind of like all my scripts take place in this fictional county called Lawford County, Illinois.
Makes sense.
And it's a mix between Lawrence and Crawford. My job, I drive around out in the country a lot. I work in the oil field currently. So a lot of these times I drive out to these different rigs and stuff like that. Well, you know, it's just so inspiring driving around some of these areas. And, you know, you drive around the same area, you know, over and over and over, you start to, you know, kind of like, well, you know, this happened here. You know, if I broke down here, what would happen, right. You know, and stuff like that. And you kind of get ideas for different movies and scripts. You see different houses, like, oh, it'd be cool to shoot in that location and kind of come up with a story behind it and stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of inspiring. So we just kind of, we named our production company Lawford County Productions off of, you know, the inspiration we get locally.
Nice.
So it's kind of a cool little play, I thought.
Definitely so. And now you're out there. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And we'll go from there. So once again, what's the name of the film?
It's Unlisted Owner.
Unlisted Owner. I don't know if we mentioned that yet. We've gone through half this podcast and not even mentioned the name. Unlisted Owner. So what's just a general idea? It's found footage.
Yeah.
What, I mean, is it a jump scare movie? Is it a supernatural or what? Just a general idea.
It's like I said, it's kind of one of those deals where it's crime scene evidence that's been edited together. There's like, I think there's five or six cameras. There's like four video cameras and a police dash cam that's all been edited together.
Okay.
And it's presented as crime scene footage, and you have like the evidence placards that tell, like, you know, this is camera A of such and such, and, you know, this date and all this stuff like that, all the details, the case number and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more edited as crime scene footage, like all these horrific events happened, and this is the footage that was recovered, and this is edited for the police department.
Okay.
So it's kind of, that's the kind of thing like that, and there are some jump scares in it, and like there's some, you know, on the edge of your seat moments of what's going to happen. And I mean, and there's a lot of funny dialogue in it too. There's a lot of cussing in the film, and you know, it's like I said, it's me and my friends. So,
right.
You know, you just got to go back and forth with each other, giving each other crap. So that's kind of like, you know, the general consensus of the film, you know, just, you know, you're out with your friends and you make some stupid choices and
kind of
takes you on an adventure.
Well, I'll tell you, my son, being a horror film buff, I wouldn't say buff. I'd just say big fan. We sit there in movies. We go to the horror films all together, and he'll sit there next to me and goes, all right, this is going to happen next. Boom, it happens. And, you know, whenever we go to a movie and he says, oh, this is going to happen next, and it doesn't happen, that's one of the best movies in the world. We love it. And so I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah.
And jump scares, love them.
Yeah.
So, because every once in a while you need that little heart attack just to get you going through the rest of
it. Oh, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. So it sounds like a very interesting film. I can't wait to see it. So November 14th. What's the ways that people can get a hold of you and order the film?
If you look us up on Facebook, if you go look up Unlisted Owner, we have an official movie page on there. You can message us. And also, that's where we keep our most latest news at. We also have a website. You can find news on there and links to Amazon that way as well. So those are the best ways to reach us and be able to find out more information about the film. So, or just Google us. I mean, there's a whole bunch of information about Unlisted Owner on Google. All you have to do is just type in Unlisted Owner and bam, it's the first thing that pops up.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I will be putting links here on the podcast page,
awesome.
NerdUpPodcast.com. There'll be links to purchase it and or pre-order, depending on the... Actually, I'll put a link on there, and I think it changes to actual purchase once it's out.
Cool.
So,
awesome.
I'll put a link on there for that. I'll promote you all I can because... Well, I love the fact that somebody I know and within my community is making a movie.
Yeah. So, well, and that's the crazy thing, you know. I mean, whenever I found out I was on Amazon, I mean, we're not just competing against, you know, like horror films. I mean, we're competing against TV series that just came out. Like, Walking Dead Season 7 just came out. American Horror Story Season 6, the Roanoke one, it just came out. And Ash vs. Evil Dead Season 2 just came out. And we're competing against all these.
So and you were in the top 10 with all those?
Yeah, I was in the top 10 with all those. Yeah, and also 47 Meters Down had just came out at that time, too.
Wow.
And, I mean, the fact that we were that high on the list in the toughest time of the year for horror films, and this is just pre-orders, you know, it really shows the support that's behind this film.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Did you do any kind of, like, Kickstarter or fundraiser of any kind?
No,
wow.
I funded it all myself.
Nice. There we go. Yeah, you're in that type of running with the, you know, that type of competition.
Yeah.
You must have a really good description on that page. All right, well, I'll have to check that out. I didn't see the page description yet. So, but I'll be, like I said, on the nerdoppodcast.com site, I will be putting links for people to find you and the film. What's the next film idea you got coming up?
Oh, gosh, we got a few of them. It's kind of hard. Like I said, we had the Meth House one that we'd like to do. It'd be kind of cool to do. And we got, gosh, there's just so many, like, scripts that we want to do and that are written. And it's just, you know, we're just biting at the bullet, just waiting, you know, just waiting for them to actually, you know, for us to be able to get the funding to make them and stuff and put them into production. So it's just one of those deals where it's like, you know, we got so many choices and so many directions we can go.
Nice.
You know, it all depends on, too, you know, like, how much Unlisted Owner makes. Because, you know, I'm not just looking just to be like, oh, you know, this is my... you know, my only film, you know, I want to take what I profit from this and just dump it into the next one.
Just make a whole,
and just keep.
And are just they genre specific or are they?
They're mostly different? Horror, but I mean, nice. There's a couple of comedy ones like, because, and that's one thing people are like, wow, you want to do comedy and horror both. But to me, it's like, you know, if you're like, say you're hiding behind a door and someone opens the door and you scare them, what's the next thing you do? You laugh. You laugh. And to me, I mean, that's kind of how I see, like, horror, you know? It's like, you know, you scare someone, and then you're like, ha, gotcha.
Exactly. And that's the purpose of a jump scare in any horror film.
Yeah.
Is, you know, you relieve that tension by a little bit of, maybe not always comedy, but it's like, oh, look what I just did. I almost wiped my pants.
I do it to my wife all the time.
And she loves you still.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, great. Okay, so that was Jed Bryan. Once again, I'm going to put all sorts of links on the Nerd Up page. Check him out on Facebook. And we'll follow your career, because this this is very interesting in this little community. I'm looking out the windows here at the studios, and I'm thinking this is a very rural area. Nobody would think to make films here, and I'm glad that you're doing it, especially in my genre, horror.
Well, I appreciate it.
So once again, Jed Bryan, I'm Gil T. Wilson for the Nerd Up Podcast. Don't forget, check us out online. You can buy our merchandise, but I'll tell you what. Instead of buying a T-shirt this time around, go buy Unlisted Owner on Amazon, and you'll be happy with the film, and you can get a T-shirt later.
So, well, I appreciate that.
And then in the meantime, just like we say at the end of every podcast, stay nerdy.